Guardian Unlimited.
Hello, welcome to the 50th edition of Music Weekly. And in an arithmetical aberration, it's our first birthday too. The show is a year old this week, and joining me in the studio to celebrate is Laura Barton.
Hello.
And Kelly Nastrock.
Hello.
What presents have you brought to the studio for me this week, gang? Anything nice? Cuddly? Dead?
Tidings of joy and goodwill towards men and women.
I'm empty-handed, Paul.
You are empty-handed, as ever, which makes me miss Rosie Swash all the more. But she's in Mali for the festival in the desert. More on that later. There is anthemic rock, heroic drinking and a fondness for the Czech Republic to cover for it, though, as we welcome British Sea Power into the studio. They'll be playing live for us, too. We'll be reviewing the Maccabees, Lightspeed Champion and poor old Britney in Singles Club. We'll be dribbling the best of the blog into your ears. And the heir apparent to the Glastonbury Empire, Emily Evis, will be talking about the lineup for this year's festival.
We're really trying to do something kind of consistent throughout the whole weekend rather than have any dominating big, massive bands, you know. Rather than have like a dominating headliner, we're sort of trying to have really strong acts throughout the whole weekend.
But we start with a band who looks set to return to the top 20 this weekend and are as eccentric as your uncle who lives in the shed. Yes, it's British Sea Power. Some of you may have been able to guess that that's Waving Flags by British Sea Power. That's their new single. There's been a lot of positive advance publicity for British Sea Power's third album, which comes out next week. And their buoyant sound is predicted to make it big this summer and at the festival season. They came into the studio early this week and I asked them if they were satisfied with their new album.
I'm satisfied to the factor of 8 out of 10.
Factor of 8 out of 10. So, but on, is that on the satisfaction scale, in which case only 10 is happy? Or is that on a general scale?
10 would be like pure bliss.
Pure bliss. Okay, well, I'd say 8 is pretty good. Now, quickly, do you like rock music yourselves?
Yes.
The point I want to get to is this. To support the release of your upcoming album, which is out on January the 14th, we've established this, you conducted a thoroughly spurious survey, including Guardian Unlimited users along the way, as to what rock music...
It's coming back to haunt us several times, you know that, don't you?
But your survey was conducted to work out what rock music, as a complementary term, and stood for. Now, at the end of this survey, what did you find your results showed?
That things weren't quite as cut and dry as we previously imagined. Like the Northern Lights, obviously rock music. Street Lights, previously thought, not rock music. But Street Lights protect people from getting mugged and raped. So that's it's not as cut and dry as previously thought.
It's also the name of that disco song as well, so it's definitely not rock and roll in that sense.
And then by the time we get down to the level of trying to decide which is more rock music, the Cruyff turn or tea...
It's impossible.
Waving Flags, first single off the album. Now, I think it addresses themes of immigration.
Correct.
However, I'm not quite sure in which way it addresses these themes. For example, the opening lyrics being, "You are astronomical fans of alcohol, so welcome in." Now, is that ironical?
It's fun, with the key phrase being, "So welcome in."
Key phrase is welcome in.
Because it just kind of addresses everybody drinks alcohol. It's slightly comedic.
Admiring some people's ability to do it especially well.
And the Czechs, the biggest beer-drinking nation.
You're playing the Czech Embassy coming up soon, aren't you, little gig?
Yeah, next week.
That'll be quite fun. And you recorded some of your album in the Czech Republic.
Yeah.
So is this a long-standing relationship with the country, or...?
It does go back several years.
Yeah, it's strange how it just keeps on recurring. We did an exchange single with a band called The Ecstasy of St. Teresa, who are a Czech band, and they played in England and we played in the Czech Republic in Prague. And then Katerina Winterova, the singer, she sang one of our songs in Czech and in English. We were supposed to sing one in Czech, but it was very difficult.
Do you need particular parts of your mouth to be shaped in a different way in order to pronounce everything properly?
They've got this, there's a rhyme that they do when the kids, it's something like, something like that, really, and it means it means something like to stab someone in the neck. I don't know if that's good for kids, but
it's lovely.
Speaking of the kind of the whole immigration thing, what did you make of this whole Morrissey to do though before Christmas?
Strange, we were just speaking to Tim Johns.
Oh, were you?
Yeah, just about half an hour ago. He didn't want to speak about it.
No, the man
fair
about
enough.
It's kind of disappointing. Yeah, somehow you hope he didn't mean it as bad as what it sounds.
Obviously, I believe that he's not a racist or anything, but.
But then you do start to have your doubts, don't
you? Yeah,
you
do.
People who've tried to explain away Morrissey's behaviour have said that, you know, this is a traditional and kind of old-school view of Britain that is now just out of date. Mm-hmm. But you kind of incorporate kind of lots of traditional imagery into your lyrics. Do you think it's possible to kind of bring that old nice cup of tea, village fete, that kind of stuff, world, which a lot of people get quite misty-eyed about, but bring it into a modern multicultural...
Yeah, things come and go, don't they? You just got to accept that, you know, new things come along and old things die out.
Village fates are wonderful things. Who wouldn't like a donkey derby?
Who wouldn't like a donkey derby?
Fresh ice cream.
I saw in the Czech Republic, we were just by this national park.
Just hanging around in the Czech Republic.
That's where the studio was. The people in their bras and knickers just mowing the lawns, you know. And that's definitely, you know, something we'd like to bring into this country.
Rosie.
Almost everything that is written about you or said about you references your live performances as chaotic and left field and amazing. Do you ever just think, I just want to go and play my songs and not worry about hurtling around the stage and being chased by a bear and having to impress people in the way that they've expected?
Sometimes after about 8 days solid drinking, that's when, but most of the time I'm well up for it.
No, there's nothing like being chased around by a bear.
Where do you come up with this stuff, or is it totally spontaneous?
Well, the chap gave us a bear costume. Apparently it's an old film star, but we've never located which film we actually starred in.
Yeah, in some old BBC films.
I'm figuring Abbott and Costello. Because it doesn't actually look that lifelike, except from a distance in strobe lighting with lots of dry fog. He is sort of semi-retired now, though, due to injury.
You've toured with a lot of very famous, very respected bands, Pulp and Flaming Lips. Who's your favourite?
Ooh, well, the Flaming Lips one was brilliant. It was like a party every night, like a kid's party. And then the Pulp one was...
Pulp was like... Jarvis was a hero when I was like growing up, so...
And it was a tour of Forest as well, so that was really good. We got to go on, what was that, Monkey? Ape World.
You did. Yeah, you got into a lot of trouble though, didn't you? So.
They've got ladders and swings in the trees.
But you're not meant to break in there at night time when you're drunk and climb up them, are you, Martin?
Party Martin.
Party Martin, that's what they call me.
Party Martin.
Your new album, do you like rock music? We've established you like it. And it seems to me you like it so much, you've invested this album with a lot of very anthemic properties. What kind of emotions do you hope to kind of get from your audience through this kind of music?
One big Marty party with a few moments of despair. Happiness after happiness, after a while it begins to mean nothing. So you need just a few moments of depression.
Yeah, because there's not many
it's
bands.
Very serious and it's very emotional, but occasionally it's also very daft.
There's not many bands who really seek to kind of generate kind of enthusiasm or that kind of passion.
The way you say that, it makes it sound like a strange thing. You would think most bands wouldn't try and stir up a great passion.
No, I think it's strange that more bands don't.
That's what I mean, yeah, I agree. That's a strange thing.
I don't know.
Passion's out of fashion.
Yeah, then I'll do. We'll end that one on a rhyme. This has been a fascinating conversation, and it's been really great to have you here. But I'd like to kind of finish on a question that kind of gets right to the heart of what you're about, I think, British sea power. In that Business Secretary John Hotton, just before Christmas...
Sorry, you go ahead. I'm interrupting
you're
you.
Well preempting there.
Said that he hopes that up to 7,000 turbines could be installed offshore in the UK to boost wind produced energy 60-fold by 2020. In fact, by that point, he thinks that all domestic electricity could be generated by British sea power.
I actually think wind turbines are very beautiful.
A lot of them are, some of them are in passive migratory birds and they get chewed up, so they just got to work out where to put them. It's a good thing.
They're less beautiful when they're bloodstained.
Sensible thinking there from British Sea Power. Their new single, Waving Flags, is out now. Their new album is out on January the 14th. And they're playing 13 dates across the UK and Ireland from next week. And they'll be bringing a gaggle of seabirds along with them. Talking about newness, however, here's the latest tracks in the Singles Club. We start with a figure you may have seen or heard from recently in our popular press. Yes, it's Britney Spears and her single, Piece of Me. I'm a American dream since I was 17. Don't matter if I step on the scene or sneak away to the Philippines. They still gonna put pictures of my derriere in the magazine. You want a piece of me? You want a piece of me? It's bad media karma, another day, another drama. Guess I can't see the harm in working and being a mom. And with a kid on my arm, I'm still an exception. And you want a piece of me? Okay, Britney Spears is a balanced and well-adjusted young woman. Well, actually, she isn't. But still, her latest album, Blackout, has been 9 weeks in the US Top 40 and sold over 500,000 copies. Coincidental? Maybe. Laura Barton, what do you make of the music?
I like that. I have a weird affection for Britney that makes me even forgive Crossroads. But
I enjoy Crossroads. It was a really moving drama, actually. Because you almost fall out with her at the very beginning, but by the end she's won your sympathy, I think.
Yeah. And she's done it again, I think, with this single. I like the roboticness of it, and I particularly like the way she pronounces derriere.
There does seem to be a fascination with that word. It's also in the video. They rag it out on a newspaper and they zoom right in so that everybody knows that she's au fait with the odd French term. Mm. I mean, you started off there talking about it, though. It said that, you know, your sympathy lies with her. Do you think it's difficult to separate the music from the tabloid car crash?
I think it is, but the startling thing for me with Britney is that she delivers musically sort of 9 times out of 10, I think. And I think she really did that with this album in a way that so many sort of overproduced pop albums, you know, or the Spice Girls single, for example, just didn't deliver. And I think Britney, she's still at the top of her game, which is quite concerning in some ways, I suppose, if you're worried about her welfare. But yeah, musically, I still think she's still got it.
What, in that as long as she keeps selling units, then there'll be no kind of real pressure on her to kind of... Yeah. From people around her for her to reform.
Well, I don't suppose she's getting the message that she's doing anything wrong, yeah. You know.
Guardian Unlimited Music's Kelly Nastrock.
It's interesting to hear you say that she's still got it, because I suppose, let's say, her producers still have it.
Yeah, well, she's got the producers, yeah.
Right, so she still have the good producers. This is this is a great track. It's the same people who did Toxic. Is that Robin, I think, as a backup singer in it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's no bigger a lie than anything else she's ever done, so... I give it the thumbs up.
But so many people try to replicate that same thing and don't manage to do it in the way that Britney does, even though they've got the producers and the backup singers.
Yeah, I mean, I did find this kind of quite familiar in a lot of places, and in particular, I think the vocoder or the auto-tuning effect on the vocals, the third verse is just sang almost entirely in vocal effect. And I found that a little bit overdone and very familiar, and I wanted to put that to one side. But I found the melody really great in the minor key and kind of really melancholic and kind of captivating. So, yes, she's cleared the bar once again, Britney Spears, has she not?
I'll have to go see Crossroads now, though. I don't know how I missed it.
I don't think
time.
It's playing in many cinemas, actually. You might have to get it out on video or something.
Okay.
Piece of Me is available now, however. Next on Singles Club, it's the Maccabees and Toothpaste Kisses. Cradle me, I'll cradle you. I'll win your heart with a woo-woo. Pulling shapes just for your eyes. So with toothpaste kisses and lines, I'll be yours and you'll be. Lay with me, I'll lay with you. We'll do the things that lovers do. Maccabees came on our show last year, and in all honesty, they were a little bit smug and up themselves. They had lovely haircuts, though. Since then, however, a bit of heat has gone out of the band, and this is a re-release of a previous single. It has a video in which a bloke snogged loads of people, one after the other, which is fine, but it's an ideal way to transmit bugs at this time of year, is it not, Kelly Nastrock?
It brings a new meaning to viral video.
But the song. The song, do you like?
Oh, the song. Well, it sounds like a tune from a forgettable indie film where he's wooing the woman by whistling outside of her window and she's going to marry a lawyer, but she should really marry him. She's a waitress. Anyway, so I don't mean
carefree.
That in a...
He's carefree, though, isn't he? I mean, whatever you say about him outside the window trying
he
to
is.
Woo the lawyer, he's carefree.
It's true, but he still wants her, I suppose, and her toothpaste kisses. it should have been used in an advert for toothpaste, though, instead of mobile.
Yeah, because it was a mobile advert, wasn't it?
I think it's become sort of a genre on itself, hasn't it? Sort of mobile phone ad music. There are loads of songs that I've heard recently in the last like 12 months that I've just thought are mobile ads, even when they're not.
And what would characterise a mobile ad? Would it be relentlessly upbeat melodies?
Yeah, kind of cutesy, but I can't dislike them. I find it frustrating. I cannot dislike any ad music like that. And this one, I want to dislike it almost because it is too cute, but it's won me over. It's a bit Nat King Cole and a bit sort of old-fashioned and, you know.
I want to dislike it so much that I actually dislike it.
You are amazing, Kelly Armstrong.
You triumph over all. Surely the lyrics are a little bit trite, though. I mean, I steal your heart with a woo-hoo and doing that thing that lovers do. How many songs kind of get around euphemistically this whole thing that lovers do thing? I really want to know. If I was inexperienced in the game of love, which many of the Maccabees fans might be, I'd actually want the Maccabees to explain to me what it is those things that lovers do rather than talk about it in that term.
They kiss in a toothpastey way.
Right.
It doesn't make any sense, though, because this is a wooing song, but they're talking about toothpaste kisses, which to me are kisses in an established relationship where you're getting ready for bed and you brush your teeth.
Or in the morning.
That too.
Example.
Toothpaste kisses is out now, kids. Finally this week, we have Lightspeed Champion and Tell Me What It's Worth.
Crack open the good times on a street corner busting rhymes, but you fell between the lines. They all laugh, become a joke. I'm a crazy baby, let's all crunching drums. I've got a sweet sugar, but that's all. Tell me what it's worth.
Lightspeed Champion is, in effect, Dev Hynes, a trendy Shoreditch scenester and former lead singer of the band Test Icicles. He is in possession of an excellent blog at lightspeedchampion.com. Check it out and read all about his recent gig in Copenhagen, where he insisted on playing a snippet from every single ever released by My Chemical Romance. Some feat that. His debut album, or Lightspeed Champion's debut album, Falling Off the Lavender Bridge, is out on Domino Records this month. Laura.
I really like this song. It sounds a little bit Fleetwood Mac. There are times, especially the opening bit, where I think I'm not going to like it. I'm going to find it quite dreary. But what he manages to do, every single point that I feel like that in the song, is steer it towards something interesting. In that clip, the way he pronounces that's all. And then you get to the chorus, you've got Emmy the Great coming in and doing backing vocals. And I think it's quite pleasing.
It's also got an odd song structure, doesn't it? It's only really got two verses, and then it's got a middle eight that kind of goes into the final phase of the song.
I think that helps, because his voice is not particularly sort of special. I don't mean that as an insult to him, but it's not particularly standout, and I think that the structure helps to sort of deflect your attention from that.
I find it a very interesting song as well, and I quite like it. There does seem to be something, though, that the singing with the balladeery singing with a sigh, which seems to me kind of to have come from a Doherty route at some point, a libertine-y kind of phrasing, which seems a little bit hackney to me, a little bit tired now. But lots of other things that I find very interesting.
That's what turned me off from the song are the vocals, really. The tune's all right, but yeah, it's that breathy, whiny way that he delivers the lyrics, which I don't really know what the song's about. I've listened to it a few times now. Can someone tell me what it's about?
It's about wanting to know what it's worth.
30p?
I think he's outside the pound shop.
It's also about people on the street corner busting rhymes. And it's also about a difficult... The N-word appears in the middle of it, and we had a long debate around the Guardian Unlimited music desk the other day as to whether it's the version of the word used in popular rap music or the version of the word used in Huckleberry Finn.
Have you seen that he claims he's written the majority of the Wikipedia entry on the hip-hop rivalries?
No.
Fact, my friends.
Interesting fellow. Love his fashion sense, but not really turned on to the music.
Feels the same about you.
Ooh. On that low blow, we'll draw a line under that particular review. Tell me what it's worth from Lightspeed Champion is out on January the 14th. Now, you can listen to these songs yourself and then, thanks to the power of the interweb, go and leave your reviews of those tracks on our blog. It's at blogs.guardian.co.uk/music, and all reviews will be welcome, as well as obviously comments and feedback and just blatant abuse about the show. There's more tracks available than just the three we've talked about, however. Here's a taster of the other songs available. It's Muscles and Sweaty. It's Kills and You Are a Fever. It's Radiohead and Jigsaw Falling into Place. And you can read the Singles Club each week on a Tuesday afternoon at guardian.co.uk/music. Now, it may seem like summer has only ended, or actually it may not, but anyway, it's that time of year again where people's thoughts start turning to festivals. Glastonbury have announced they'll be reprising their pre-registration system for tickets this year. That's the one where you have to provide all your personal details, including your inside leg measurement, and send it off to them before being put into a ballot for tickets. Now, they'll be doing it again, and not only that, they'll be launching it early, next month in fact. So to publicise the development, Emily Eavis phoned up our roads the other day and they chatted about all the pre-registration stuff, also about the weather. But Rosie managed to sneak in the odd question about the lineup too.
There's some really exciting lineup things going on at the moment, which obviously is a little bit secret.
Is there anything that you might be able to tell us? Some sort of hint?
Well, not at the moment, because, I mean, at the moment we're just doing headliners. Yeah. And I think the whole idea for us this year is to really do something completely and utterly different. I mean, I sort of feel like there's a lot of festivals and there's a lot of the same sort of bands, you know, doing a lot of festivals. And although they're all kind of good in their own right, we sort of really wanted just to do something a bit different this year. So we've booked quite a different kind of headliner for Saturday night.
Okay, for Saturday. Okay, so I'm trying to think. So last Saturday was the Killers, if I remember.
Yeah.
They were the headliners. Would you say that the current headliner is the complete opposite from the Killers? This is a process of elimination.
No, it's very different, and it's none of the rumours are right. And I mean, to be honest, we just really wanted to move away from just do something completely different and shift the goalpost for a year. And kind of, I think the way that we've kind of done the rest of the bill this year is very much around what we think Glastonbury fans will like, rather than record sales and points and all of that kind of stuff.
So is it in a way you want to move away from some of the stuff that happened last year that you thought wasn't as successful or wasn't very Glastonbury?
There are certain things that you sort of know will work, like the Arctic Monkeys, for instance, are just a brilliant live band and they'll always be great live, and that's just a classic. But there are certain things that are a little bit more risky, but, you know, sort of divide people, get a bit controversial, kind of get people talking, get people excited, get people to sort of check it out rather than know that they're going to go and see an amazing, guaranteed gig. We're really trying to do something kind of consistent throughout the whole weekend rather than have any dominating, big, massive bands, you know. Rather than have, like, a dominating headliner, we're sort of trying to have really strong acts throughout the whole weekend, and I think we're kind of managing to do that. For that reason, hopefully it'll be a bit more interesting than the kind of just rolling out the same acts as everybody else. But it's hard to say yet because it's early days, but I think the Saturday night act will probably dominate things slightly. Well, I don't know, I'll be interested to know what you think.
Okay.
Let me know.
Okay. I don't know how far into the selection process you've got, but has everybody confirmed? Are you still waiting on some?
No, we're confirmed for all the headliners and we're doing the rest of the bill at the moment. just had, like, today we've been talking to agents and stuff all day, and just it's just really a case of sort of nailing everybody in now, because there's a lot of chat, but we're pretty much there, to be honest.
Okay, that was Emily Evis talking to Rosie Swash. Now, pre-registration for Glastonbury runs throughout February at glastonburyfestivals.co.uk, with tickets on sale from April the 6th. The festival itself is on the 27th to the 29th of June, and with a little bit of luck, we'll be there. Now, Laura, we always say nice things about Glastonbury, partly because we like it, perhaps also because we are corporate sponsors of the festival. But there was, I mean, the key word she kept on repeating there was different and also interesting. Do you think that's something that the lineup could do with this year?
I think so. I think there are so many festivals now, and last summer seemed each lineup for every festival seemed just a sort of different, same bands in different formation.
And that's no surprise either, is it? Because there is actually a pool of bands that are kind of almost under one tour promoting agency, and they're kind of shipped around to these different festivals, aren't they?
Yeah, I think Glastonbury sort of is a very different kind of festival, and at its best it's when you're wandering around finding new bands that you didn't expect to find and you're stumbling across. And the best band that I saw last year was an act called the Fabulous Penetrators. It wasn't the Arctic Monkeys or Arcade Fire or whatever, and I think that to me is what Glastonbury is about, the unexpected.
Kelly, if you were to have to wave a finger in the dark and stab it at a name who might be headlining on Saturday night, who would be very different?
Lionel Richie. That would be amazing. I would go to Glastonbury this year if Lionel Richie was headlining.
When Tony Bennett played for a few years ago, he was similarly, perhaps not your traditional kind of demographic, and he wowed the crowd, and he was a great moment, and I remember that very fondly, seeing him play live.
Dame Shirley was one of the most memorable things from this year, wasn't it? At least her arriving in her wellies, her diamond-encrusted wellies.
Yeah, I don't think you could really see that from the back of the misty field when you were soaked and covered in mud and you had infections in your eyes, but
cropping photos back at the office. That's what sticks with me.
Kelly puts his bid in to go to Somerset this summer. In a moment, we'll hear a bit more from Rosie, too, about where she is this week and what she's up to. Clue, it's somewhere in Africa. But before that, a quick word about our Facebook friends, as we've had loads of people join us over the Christmas break. There's too many to mention here, but our new pals include Stephen McInerney, Context MC, Damien Peacock, Georgina Walker, Charlie Bayliss, Michael Hobbard, Vijay Nair, Mark Dale, Edward Miller, Terry Adams and Jeremy Kingsley. Some very traditional names there. Also in that list, there's a notable lack of women. Where are you ladies? Were you put off by the Plastic Little interview we did just before Christmas and all that latent misogyny? Come and be our friend, please. The first 500 ladies get in free, free, free. As they say on Pirate Radio. Search for Guardian Unlimited Music or Guardian Music Weekly at facebook.com.
Hello, I'm Rosie Swash from Music Weekly. Well, January will see the start of the festival season for 2008, and that begins near Timbuktu in Mali, West Africa, with the Festival in the Desert. Guardian Unlimited Music will be providing live coverage from the festival, and in preparation for this, I spoke to Justin Adams, who's best known for producing the Tuareg group Tinariwen, as well as working with Robert Plant for the last few years as his right-hand man and guitarist. When I was speaking to Justin from his studio in Bath, I began by asking him to tell us a little bit about the Tuareg people.
Tuaregs are a Berber people. They're not like sub-Saharan African. They come really from North Africa and the desert. And their music very much reflects that. And so it's got a lot of relationship with Algerian and Moroccan music, as well as relationships with more well-known West African Malian music forms. They're semi-nomadic, which I guess means 100 years ago, a lot of Tuaregs were living just with small family groups and travelling around with camels and sheep and goats and donkeys and horses. Now a lot of people do live in towns, but almost every Tuareg you meet will say, oh, I've got relatives who are en brousse, which means in the bush, you know, out in the desert, living the nomadic life. And they really cherish the desert life. They love the freedom of the nomadic life. And that actually what has put them in conflict a lot with the Malian government over the years, because they're kind of quite fiercely proud people. Also, they live in a very, very, very poor part of the world where water is a real big problem. And so inevitably there are disputes between tribes or peoples over grazing rights and water, and meagre resources that there are.
How is this wealth of culture represented in their music?
The traditional music of the Tuaregs is amazing, actually, because Tuareg culture is very poetic, beautiful poems that talk of solitude and longing and nostalgia, a lot of it born out of the experiences of a shepherd far away from any human contact. A lot of times you'll find women playing a drum, which is called the tinde. The memories that I've got, the most strongest memories of the first time I was in the desert, of the music that I heard, were these groups of women sitting in circles with women playing the drums, and they'll set up a kind of drone of women just going like that, and then there'll be one solo singer who'll sing over the top, improvising poetic couplets. And then the incredible thing is, at these get-togethers that they have, which is the sort of kernel of what became the Festival of the Desert, are always tribal get-togethers. They always have been for the Tuaregs. The women sit in these tinde circles, the drum is called the tinde, and they sing. The young blades of the tribe, it's a kind of courtship ritual. They come in fast as they can on the best camels, and they ride as close as they can to these circles of drummers and spin around them like boy racers. And then they get their camels to do a kind of dressage or controlled walking around the circles of drummers, which is effectively the camels are dancing to the music. And the camels and camel riders are assessed on how well they can do this.
That was Justin Adams. And you can hear what Rosie got up to in Mali on next week's programme when she returns. That's all for this week. Thanks to Laura Barton.
Thank you for having me, Paul.
And to Kelly Nestrock.
Happy Orthodox Boxing Day.
For joining us in the studio. We're back for Download next Thursday. Catch us again then. And for now, we leave you with some live music from British Sea Power. This is Waving Flags.
Astronomical fans of alcohol, so welcome in a rising in the east and setting in the west, all waving flags, and we're all waving flags now, waving flags. But don't be scared, 'cause you're only here for a while, and it's all a joke. Oh, it's all a joke. Are you of legal drinking age on minimum wage? Well, welcome in from across the Vistula. You've come so very far, all waving flags, and we're all waving flags now. Waving flags, but don't be scared, 'cause you're only here for a while, and it's all a joke. Oh, not dark. Beer is not light, it just tastes good, especially tonight. Come in across the Slavia. Oh, welcome in across the Carpathians. Oh, welcome in. We are the Stadion. Oh, welcome in. We are barbarians. And we won't fail, not with ecstasy. No, we won't fail, not with ecstasy. So welcome in. Bum-bi-dum-bi-dum-bi-dum-doo-dum.